Okay, Hagutovach Raboisai, sorry for the delays. We have our usual technological bureaucracy to work through. We are in Chaydes Halvavis, Shah Bitochen, the end of Perek Gimel. If someone can tell us the English page, that will be helpful. If you don't have a sefer, I think you'll be fine. Whether we like it or not, we tend to spend a lot more time outside of the sefer than in the sefer.
If you tell me the paragraph, then I can probably find the page.
Toward the end of Perek Gimel, V'kivon shehisbaru.
I think it's on the bottom of 394.
Bottom of 394, Yashar Koach. Okay. Chaydes Halvavos now is in the middle of discussing the concept of Hishtadlus. Now, we made a long tangent, which we spent many weeks on the subject of Tzadik Vira Lo in Rosh HaVetoivle. Why is it that sometimes good people suffer? And why is it that sometimes the wicked prosper? Spent a lot of time on that. And now we're moving back into the broader discussion, and that is understanding the concept of Hishtadlus. Now, Hishtadlus is one of those subjects that, on the one hand, people seek very black and white guidelines as to how much Hishtadlus to do and what's too much Hishtadlus. There aren't black and white guidelines. On the other hand, people sometimes tend to feel like it's just impossible to have a handle on it, and that isn't exactly true either. What we can have is broad strokes that gives you an idea. And these broad strokes is what we're going to be learning now. But before we move into that, I do want to bring back into perspective the general concept of Hishtadlus, because it's been a while since it's been a while. So let's bring back into perspective. Hishtadlus, I imagine everybody's familiar with the term, but the idea is that Hashem controls everything, and we are expected to do what's in our hands toward our material needs, towards panasa, health, family affairs. Hashem controls it all, and we are expected to do what's in our hands. Now, I'm specifically wording it that way because I'm not wording it as follows. Even though Hashem is in charge of everything, still we're supposed to do, because that sounds like there's like two opposite things going on. No. Or let's put it a little differently. The concept of Hishtadlus, again, the word means effort. Hishtadlus means effort, material effort. The concept of Hishtadlus is kind of like something, if you take it the wrong way, it sounds like, yes, 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 Hashem's in charge of everything, but you still got to do what you got to do. Or Hashem's in charge of everything, we have to be practical. Which means that Hashem's in charge of everything is really, Chas v'Shalom, It's a kind of like, you know, the concept of Nishtav Shabbos Kiret, right? We're really not supposed to talk about this on Shabbos, but you know, so if we're too comfortable, naturally comfortable at the idea of Hishtadlus, it's like Bitachon, that's a little scary. Hashem's really in control of everything, that's a little scary. He still expects me to do mine. Okay, fine. I'm back on safe, natural ground, and I can, you know, put Hashem back into the theoretical abstract realm. Now, this is a problem because this is how, when we hear that you have to do your Hishtadlus, this is often how it strikes us. That it's like, yeah, but you got to be real. Chas v'shalom, Hashem is more real than anything else. And if we say that Hashem is controlling everything and deciding everything, that's a lot more real than any of our Hishtadlus. So what is this business of Hishtadlus? What's it about? So we discussed it earlier, but like I said, I before we get into what is the correct Hishtadlus and not the correct Hishtadlus, I think it's necessary to recap that because it's fundamental. It's critical that that be in the background so that we aren't, excuse me if I'm going to say it tough, so that we aren't engaged in frum apikorsis. Right? We don't want to get into a place that, yeah, bitachem, but when it comes down to it, it's about Hishtadlus. No. So, we've discussed. Let's review. Let's review the perspectives that the Chaydes Halvavos gave on this. He gave two understandings of why Hashem set it up that way. something that should bother us, right? It shouldn't be too easily understandable. Sure, you had to reach out to this. How should it work? No, it works differently. It works that Hashem makes the decisions. But there are reasons why he set up a system where you have to be a part of his decision playing out. It's the example of Parnassa. It's just the easiest example to work with, even though it spreads to many other areas in life, as we'll see. But we'll use the example of Parnassa. Hashem decided what he wants you to get. And you have to go about the natural means because that's how Hashem set up the system. In other words, Hashem made a certain condition. I allocated XYZ for you, but if you're not going to do your part in it, I won't give it to you. But at the end of the day, it's what Hashem decided. And therefore, you can see a person doing a lot of effort at hishtadlus and doesn't get him anywhere. And you sometimes see a person who does hishtadlus and the results are disproportionately larger than the hishtadlus. So why is it that way? Let's understand it in order to appreciate what we're doing when we're engaging in hishtadlus. So the Chavos HaLevavos gave us two perspectives. He said, number one is, it's important for man to be busy. When man is bored, he gets in trouble. This is, right, Chazal, we have many statements to this effect, but we don't need, you see it around, right? When a person doesn't have what to be busy with, they get in trouble. Now, theoretically, there could be a situation where a person knows how to use his spare time, he knows how to use his leisurely time, which was really how it was supposed to be before Adam HaRishon did his Aveira. But once he did his Aveira, and once we became more physical, more migushama, as they say, Gashmi is dick, we do have a certain human tendency that just having too much free time on our hands will get us into trouble. And therefore, Hashem said, it's important for our spiritual, and you know what, emotional and mental well-being that we be kept busy. Now, there is such a thing as a person who gets to Madrega where Hashem says, I can relieve him of that need. There's also such a thing of a person who's giving the nisayan of not being busy. That the test there is to utilize the time right, to utilize leisure right, keep myself busy, engaged in avodas Hashem, finding ways to fill that time correctly. But the rule is that Hashem set it up such that you have to keep busy because Hashem made your parnasa and your health, et cetera, Hashem said made that contingent on you being busy. So that's perspective number one. Perspective number two, and this is very profound. And again, I know this is a review, but bear with me. Perspective number two is that it's in the realm of hishtadlus where Hashem tests us. A fundamental part of us being in this world is to be tested. If a person says, hey Hashem, I would like to just spend my entire day davening and learning, and then I would serve you right. Why do I have to have so many different distractions in my life, necessary distractions that make it difficult for me to serve you? Hashem's answer to that is, Amoichel Yatoibis. The service that I want is for you to, I prefer the avoida, the service that I want, as I'm talking, I'm giving a man's example now, but is that with all of the distractions and stresses of your life, you creak out that hour for learning. I value that more than if I were just free you of everything and you would have all day to learn. I value that more. The idea is for you to struggle to achieve. That's the idea. And that's why I set it up that way. This is a very fundamental reason of why Hashem did set it up that you have to do hishtadlus. Now let's give a few practical examples of that. And again, I know this is a review, but that's what we do. It's been a while, and this is what we do. Person is in business, right? Again, he wouldn't have to work. If he wouldn't have to work, he'd be able to just do everything properly. But now that he's at work, and mincha is a big challenge. So it's right in the middle of the day. there's so much going on, going from one meeting to the next, and there are deadlines to meet, and there's all kinds of crunches, etc. And if I wouldn't have to work, mincha would be so much easier. But Hashem says, no, this is exactly the point. I want to test how loyal are you going to be in your davening. I don't just want to see that if you're sitting back all day, three times a day you manage to get yourself off the couch and daven. What I want to see is, can you do that when you are busy, when you're stressed, when you're tight? That's exactly what I want to see. That's the test. That's one example. Or issues of integrity. I'm not sure, right? I need a certain amount by next week. And here there's a chance for me to make a deal that seems pretty okay. A little bit of a crooked angle to it. So Hashem says, oh, this is exactly why I imposed parnos on you. It's for the purpose of you not making that deal. It's not that the need to make parnos is a curveball. It's not that this is a curveball. On the contrary, the reason I imposed parnos on you is to give you the chance to succeed at not making that deal. It's to give you the chance to shine in not making that deal. That's why I put it here. So it's not that the nisyonis are curveballs. So many of the nisyonis are in the context of our ishtadlis, the need to do ishtadlis. Don't view it as, oh, this is, I wish I wouldn't have this test. Hashem says, I want you to shine. I want to really bring the most out of your neshama. That's the idea. How do I do it? I do it in those tests. I impose ishtadlis on you. I make parnos a difficult business for the purpose of what? For the purpose of you to come and say, even though I'm so worried about my parnosa, this is the deal I'm not going to make. And now you've enhanced your neshama. You've brought it up a notch. That's the idea. Got a question.
What about, so parnosa seems more straightforward in terms of shadows, but what about something like in terms of health? Let's say somebody is dealing with whatever health problem and they're doing their shadows and where are we growing there? What's
how does health fit into this picture? So, like you said, I've been talking about parnosa because that's the simplest example to illustrate. Another question?
No, that's what he's talking about here in the sefer right now, parnosa.
Right. And it's also the easiest one to work with. Later, he's going to give in to show money, many other areas of life. But let's address that briefly. Yes, health is another area of where ishtadlis is relevant. I don't know how much in our lives today, in our reality today, we face like those types of nisyonos when it comes to health. Like if you're not going to do an aveira, your health is going to suffer. I think that for our purposes, it's almost the other way around. The lashon of the Chazon Ish, I'm not sure if this is exactly the answer to your question or close to the answer to your question, but the Chazon Ish says a very beautiful lashon about caring for health. He says that hateva, okay, I won't give the full context, but he says that taking care of your health is min ha'avodos ha'ahuvos l'fanav yisbach. It's a beloved area of avoda by Hashem. Question? Yes, we'll continue, but let's hear what Mrs. Shrey has to say. I'm deliberately not saying Rebbetzin as per your request. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, my husband is at this 16-hour operation in Bailiffton. In the morning at 7:30, he puts on his robe, he takes his halichon, and he says, "Where are you going?" He says, he points to me, he's going upstairs to the doctor. I tell him that you know that the doctors make their rounds every morning between 8 and 9. You can't go. He says, doctor, could wait, they'll come back. The Rabbi Shalom can't wait. And he went.
What an example.
He went to Davin.
What an example.
At 7:30. Of course, it's 8:15, the round of doctors, the 8 of them, whatever, they all come into the room. No, where is he? Went upstairs to pray. Did that, and then came back at 9 o'clock.
Wow.
So I was busy working up an eloquent answer. I think then you have the best answer right on the head. That's the answer. That's the perfect. That's right.
It's been following him. He never missed in 13 years or whatever. I don't think he ever missed a meeting. He came home from Sheraton at one time at 3:30 in the morning. 5:30, he said, yeah. He was getting dressed, and I was worried. I knew he was going to Dothan, but he was afterward to pool with Hardama and everything. I went in back of him, watched him go into the shul, and I asked somebody, I said, look, he's after Hardama, and just make sure that you cross him when he leaves. That's it. Wow. There's no such a thing as he wouldn't go any place. I knew he didn't know that he has a place.
Yashu Koyach. I think that's the answer to your question. Yashu Koyach. Yashu Koyach. Everything else can wait. Good, good, good. So there we have our perspectives on why we need to do Ishtar. It's understanding the value of the tests. And that's why Hashem gives us this sense of we have to make things work, but make it work within my rotzein. Put my rotzein first, like Mrs. Shvei just said. Put my rotzein first and make things work around that. This is where we're tested. This is really where we earn our greatness. This is what we're here for. Having said that, we understand that Hishtadlis is not, well, you got to be practical. Hishtadlis is part and parcel of the system of Avodas Hashem. It's not something different. It's not an exception to the rule. It's not a qualification of the rule. And even more than that, the Chavetz Chavos we keep seeing, and we'll see that also now as we go along, that part of the test of Ishtadlis is, are you capable of doing your Ishtadlis with the realization that you're just going through the motions? And that Lamaisa, you're going to do your Ishtadlis and Hashem is going to do his thing. So all this, therefore, often the question of, well, where do you draw the line between bitachon and ishtadlis? Often the answer is, don't draw a line. Do the required ishtadlis with the realization that it's about Hashem doing his thing. With the realization that even in your ishtadlis, you're relying on Hashem because he's giving you the mental effort, the mental ability to figure out the ishtadlis. He's giving you the energies to do it. So it's about going about the ishtadlis with the realization that I'm doing mine, but I'm completely dependent on Hashem for it all. That is also a major part of the challenge and of the purpose of Ishtadlis, to test us in that realm too. If Hashem says, make it seem like you're in control, can you remember that I am? Fine. And here, now that we've put that back into place, we can move forward to the actual question of how does Ishtadlis work? And where can I draw the line? Where do I draw the line? What is called doing too much ishtadlis, and what is called doing the correct ishtadlis? So now let's see. So again, I think we said we're on the bottom of page 394. Is that right? The Kivan Shei Zboro.
Yeah.
Page 394. Now that we've established Chiyuv HaGilgul Al Asibay Sal Bnei Adam, that yes, you do have to engage in the material efforts to care for yourself. Nivoyerata. Now we'll explain. Ki ein kol adam chayev lechazer al kol sibois misibois haterif. This does not mean that you have to desperately grasp at any straw. Now let's bring this out again more clear, again clearly. Let's articulate this. If we understand that Ishtadlis is a part of Hashem's system, it's a part of Ratzon Hashem. So you have to prove yourself through your Ishtadlis that you're doing it right. You can have two frum Jews who are going about the same job. They both have the same job. They're both doing Ishtadlis. One is doing it as a mamin. He understands that I'm doing this Ishtadlis because this is what Hashem wants of me, but it's really Hashem. The other one is doing it because he feels like, if I don't do it, how will it happen? It all depends on me. And they're both using the same terms. You have to do Ishtadlis, right? But they both are really coming from two different places. Where is the difference? The difference is going to be in situations where Hashem says, now it's okay. Here I don't expect this Ishtadlis. Just let go and leave it up to me. it could be in a situation where, like, let's say, for example, we said the case of an Isayan, a crooked deal. Hashem says, you're only doing your ishtatus because I expected you to, right? But here's where I said, I expect you to let go. Are you capable of doing that? It's not just the test of, are you going to be honest or not honest? It's a much more fundamental test. What is all your ishtadlis really about? You're claiming that you're doing it because this is what Hashem wants of me. So Hashem says, no, I don't want it of you. Can you let go and leave it up to me? If you don't make this crooked deal, it looks like you're going to be in the lurch. You're going to be stuck. Okay, it's fine. I am exempting you of your chiyuv ishtadlis. Now leave it up to me. One of them will say, oh, that's it. I'm letting go. Hashem doesn't want me to do this. I'm leaving it up to him. The other will say, but I need the money. And you got to be practical. That's what ishtadlus is all about, right? The other moves. This is where we'll have the dividing line between the two kinds of ishtadlus. The ishtadlus done right, and the ishtadlus done as a form of lack in emunah and bitachon. But there's another angle, and that is that there's a line. And this comes back to that million-dollar question. It does reach a point where Hashem says, I don't expect you to grasp at every straw. If it goes beyond a certain point, let go and leave it up to me. And here's where many will wonder, where is that line? So like we said, this is what we started with. Black and white lines we can't necessarily give. But yes, we can provide what we might call, maybe you'll tell me that this is a contradiction in terms, clear, broad strokes. So let's see. So he says, you are not required to grasp at every straw. There are many types of sources of parnasa. Now, they have different natures. Mehen nikalos, there are types of work which are physically easy. Shetor chom na'at, that don't involve heavy physical labor. Kischoyra bachanus, like having a store or doing business. Meaning physical labor, it's not. It's more of a mental activity, let's say. Oy meleches yad shetir chama'at. Or let's say there are also certain forms of physical work that are not heavy on the body, like, let's say, embroidery, being a tailor, ichui, sifrus is, I guess, for our purpose, we call that bookkeeping. Yitzra mischarim, these are all different forms of secretarial and bookkeeping types of work. These are office jobs from 1,000 years ago. Being the manager or the agent of people working the ground. In other words, office jobs is one realm of parnasa. Not much physical labor, it's more of a mental activity. And then there are other types of parnasa which are very physically heavy. Kibud ha'oreis, tanning, oitzoes ha'barzel, anechoishes, voiferes, min moitzaeyem, and mining, metal, copper. Mining is a heavy physical job. Zikuk ha'kesef voiferes, refining metals, nesoy ha'masoyes ha'kveidois, being a porter, a mover, carrying heavy loads. Leches badrochim rechoikim tamei. This is interesting. He calls a job that entails travel, a lot of travel, a heavy physical job. Vavaydos ha'adoma v'charishosu v'keyetze behem. Farming, plowing, etc. So there are more, obviously it breaks into many more categories, but the idea is there are different types of work with different types of natures. Some are more physically heavy, some are more mentally heavy, and we'll break it down a little more. Some are more greater levels of responsibility, more stress-oriented, less stress-oriented types of jobs. You come in, you do your hours, and then you're done. There are types of jobs that require, might keep the wheels in your mind running the whole time. All different types of jobs, right? So now he says, so he says, you find a job that is appropriate for your nature. If you have a person who is big, muscular guy with not a very high intellect, so he shouldn't apply for an executive position. He should apply for some heavy labor that'll work for him. Then you have a person who's very intelligent, but he's a frail little guy. So don't take a job that's going to be very heavy on the body. You look for a job that will be easier on the body, that you'll be able to do to maintain long term. In other words, his point is that if you're going to get a job, you person who's looking for parnasa, offered a job that just is not going to work for him. Earlier, we saw all kinds of other reasons. Let's say a job that it's going to require him to do insane hours. It's going to ruin his family life. It's not going to be able to enable him to daven like a mensch, etc. And also, it's going to ruin his health because you have people who it works for them to be up, you know, till 3 a.m. And then people who it works for them. And then you have people who need to have their orderly life. So if you have a person who needs to have his regular sleep and he's offered this type of position with crazy kinds of erratic hours and things like that. So, and he knows it's just going to do him in. It's going to stress him out. It's going to ruin his family life. We tell him, don't do it. This is not what Hashem expects of you. I need parnasa. So here, this is already a little more subtle than we were saying earlier. Here's where we say no. If it's completely against your nature, it's just going to run you down, then Hashem says, here you can let go and leave it up to me. You might have a rough couple of months. But this is, I do not expect of you to take a job that runs completely in opposition to your nature and is just going to do you in and run you down. You can let go. You can let go and say, this is not a job for me. Now, of course, this is a fine line. You can have a person who comes and says, well, I'm opposed to hard work in general. In any realm, I need a job that enables me not to put in too much thought and also not to move my body too much. I should be able to sit at home, right, with a coffee or a lemonade and low demand, high paying job. That's what fits my nature. Then we say, shkoyach, right? Part of the idea is, Rav Avigdor Miller would say it this way, you have to be a hustler. We're not acknowledging the type of guy who just likes the easy life as a legitimate type of nature. No, no, you like the easy type of life. So Adam L'Omo Yulo, you have to get yourself onto a different track. But we are acknowledging different types of natures. Yes, I have a job that I can work with. I'm willing to put in the effort. I'm willing to put in the energies. But this is a type of job that will run me down. Here is where we say, okay, no. So here you're allowed to let go. And not only that, you may even say, expected to let go and say, no. I'm waiting for a type of parnasa to come up that will work with my health, that will work with my abilities, it will work with my family life. It will work with my spiritual program. It'll leave me time to daven like a mensch, to learn like a mensch. Where exactly do you draw that line? Okay, that's why I said these are broad strokes. These are not black and white. It's individual. You have to see in each case. But the general idea we're getting. So now, he adds another point. We talked about things that suit you physically. Besides physical or mental abilities, there's another thing. People have a more natural inclination for different types of things. You have one person who has a tendency toward graphics. They like to sit at a computer and be creative. Then you have another person who needs to be interacting with people. The people person needs to be interacting with people. This is not really an issue of ability. It's not really an issue of ability, but it is an issue of nature, right? So everybody has different types of work that kvar hitbia hakel la betivoy, aba v'chiba. that Hashem gave you more of a leaning, more of a tendency, more of an affinity for this type of job. And he says, it's the same with animal life. With animal life, you see that you have, it says, cats like to hunt other animals. And Hashem equipped them with the physical features. First of all, he gave them that tendency, he gave them that inclination, and he gave them the physical features to do it, because that is indeed part of the cat's role in Hashem's world. That cat should be catching mice, and the cat should not become a vegetarian. He gave gazelles, deer, etc., a type of stomach and the type of teeth that are good for grass. And he made them like it also. That's what they're appealed to. They see a some other animal, they have no kashrut to go and eat it. So the type of parnasa that Hashem intended for each different creature, Hashem gave it a certain natural tendency, a certain natural inclination toward it. And so it's the same by us, except that it's not as clearly defined by species. It's more individual. So, he says, so I'm skipping to the next paragraph. So he says, yes, you'll find among people also differing natures and differing physical constitutions. And people have different tendencies, different types of work. Now, again, we keep stressing. The premise here is that you're not trying to avoid working. You're not trying to avoid working hard. Adam la'amal yulad. The tzuras adam, if we'll put it that way. The tzuras adam, the way man is supposed to be, is a man who's working his way through life. So if it's about my nature is having an easy life, that no. But when you're ready to apply yourself, yes, we're acknowledging that there are different things that are appropriate for different types of people. If you find your nature more attracted to a certain type of job, and you're physically fit for it, another clause. This means that you also have to be willing to handle every job has its particular challenges and downsides. So part of when we say that you're fit for a certain job, that means that you can handle the downsides and challenges of that job. For some people, a job that will tend to be boring is a job that will drive them nuts. When there's what to do, I like the job. But sometimes there are long stretches of time where it's just monotonous and I just can't handle that. I go nuts, right? And then you have another type of person. I like this work, but sometimes it just gets too stressful. So this is also what you have to factor in terms of figuring out the type of job that's fit for you. But when you've identified that job, this is a job, it works with my nature, I have an inclination toward it, I can handle its downsides, I can handle its challenges, that's the direction to look in. And something that's too far out of that realm, you're not mechuyev to take. But here also, I'll stress, you can't make it too narrow. You have to be ready to expand your, say you have an inclination toward this type of thing, if it's extremely specific, that's you have to be ready to extend yourself a bit more. But within that range, a person has a right to say, Hashem does not expect me to take jobs that clash with who I am, that clash with my nature, that clash with my limits. So yes, find a job that suits your nature, physically, emotionally, mentally. Then make that your source of parnas. And here he adds a few fundamental things that really each deserve a lot of elaboration. We'll see how far we get now. But now he says, once you've determined that something is appropriate for you, here he's giving us another alert. You have the type of person that sees, okay, this is the type of thing that's appropriate for me. Not trying to take it easy, but this is another certain pitfall. Gets into the job. Isn't it 3 weeks? Oh, no. That's not my thing. Something else. Gets into something else. 3 weeks later, no. Not this either. We're not acknowledging that either as a legitimate type of nature. because that's also something you have to work on. Things get monotonous after a while, and anything that you're going to get into, you're going to discover its more difficult parts. Part of the chiyuv ishtadlus is the ability to stick with something. Yeah, you hit certain humps in the road, stick with it anyways. Don't say, oh, this didn't work for me because now some difficulty came up. No, part of it is weathering difficulties. We're expecting wherewithal on your part. So, yizmal miskom lirusa. If in general this job suits you in a general way, then the fact that it has its drawbacks and downsides, stick with it. Don't say, well, every 3 months my boss yells at me and therefore this is not a job for me. No. In a general way, the job is working nicely. Stick with it. Now, another tonight is, this is a fine point. Let's say you took a job, you figured out a job that makes sense for you, and it's a responsible attempt. You figured out a reasonable setup. Then, 2 months, it's just not bringing in. Or it's a job that you were with. You were doing this for 5 years, and now you hit a dry month, a dry 2 months, and a dry 3 months. So here he's making another fine point. Don't drop it. Stick with it. Because sometimes Hashem says, yes, this is a reasonable ishtadlus for you, but right now I decreed a couple of dry months for you. This doesn't mean that the ishtadlus is wrong. Doesn't mean that you should drop it and run to something else. It means that right now, remember, the job is not the cause of your panas. The job, I decide what I want to give you, and I'm going to channel it through that job. But if for whatever reason I decided I want to put you through a couple of dry months, so don't think, oh, I'll do something else, I'll open up those channels. No, right now I want you to go through a couple of dry months. Accept that. Stick with it. Now here also, we have to qualify that, because it certainly does sometimes. Let's say a person was in the film business, did very, very well for a long time. Then, as of whatever it was, suddenly he sees film is not selling anymore. But he says, oh, Chavis HaVav has told me to stick with it. Now, nobody's using film anymore, but he's going to stick with it because the Chavis HaVav has told him to stick with it. No, you definitely have to take stock. Is there a reason that this job is not producing at this point? And maybe something does have to be recalculated. If it's like the Evan Ezra was when he was lamenting his poverty, he was talking about how it must just be a gzeira min hashamayim, his poverty. He had a very tough life. So he wrote a poem, like a kind of like a sardonic poem, his sense of humor. He wrote, if I were to start manufacturing candles, night would stop falling. And if I were to manufacture shrouds, people would stop dying. So if you reach a situation where your business has become irrelevant, so yes, you do have to go back to the drawing board and check things out again. But sometimes, no. All of the circumstances are the same. It's something that could still bring in business. In such a case, we say, don't be quick to drop it. Here we say, no, it's still a responsible attempt. It makes sense. It's reasonable. You'll hit a bit of a dry period. Stick with it and accept it as something that Hashem is putting you through now. This is where ishtadlus and bitachon come together.
But what's there true? Also has to be a limit for that, because it could be 6 months and, you know, you have no income. So
there's certainly a limit.
Like, there's a sign Hashem wants you to move on to something else.
That's why we'll keep stressing that these are broad strokes. Yes, it reaches a point where you have to wonder, okay, where do I draw the line? And yes, at the end of the day, the individual case has to be judged on an individual basis. But we are stating a principle here that should be understood, that a dry period doesn't mean drop it. Sometimes it's about sticking with it. And it's common enough that, yes, a person goes through a dry period, and then business starts up again. He's trying to discourage the profile of the person who's bouncing around from thing to thing every time they run up against the curveball. That's what he's trying to discourage. Sometimes it's about sticking with it, pushing through things. But yes, you do have to ask yourself, is it already going beyond reason and should is it time to start thinking anew? So yes, we're reiterating. These are broad strokes. It's not black and white. But in terms of broad strokes, it does provide a sense of direction. Okay, we'll stop here for this week. Gute Woche.
Thank you very much.
To you.
Thank you. Gute Woche. Kol tov.
Gute Woche.